We are smack dab in the middle of a series that is unpacking, that is revealing, that is unveiling God's vision, God's plan for us here at this church. And things started a few weeks ago when Mike Ladd sat up here and he started to share about what happens when God gives a vision and what happens when God's people respond differently to that vision. And so he got a chance through that message, at the end of that message, to be able to unveil God's vision for our church here that we as a leadership over, and this has been years of working towards this, years of getting to a point, actually getting to a point where we are free enough to allow God to move and work, and a point where we are comfortable enough with God to be able to say, move us. We're yours. We're not the rulers of this church. You are. We're your appointed leaders. We're called to do your bidding, not ours. And we're free to do whatever you want us to do, God. And that took a while to get us there. And the leadership, I know I'm looking out at a few of them here, and that feeling of going through that process and getting there now, it's really an interesting place to be. It's an exciting place to be. We got a chance to start unpacking this as Mike revealed it, unveiled it, whatever term you want to use there. Then I get the opportunity to unpack it. And this has been just a blast to be able to dig into these subjects and get into it. And I'm not excited at all, am I? I've only had one glass of tea today, you know. So I haven't even had my Mountain Dew in between services. So I'm actually a little low on caffeine. And this is how excited I am about this. I've gotten a chance to unpack things a little bit. Last week we looked at the first part of our vision statement. Let's go on and review the vision statement in its whole. The vision statement that we've got now is a safe place to creatively experience God. And we talked last week about what does it mean to be a safe place. Now, we do want to keep our children safe in the children's department. We want to keep our adults safe. We want to make sure that things are good here, but we're not just talking about these walls. When we talk about a safe place, it goes deeper than just a safe property, a safe building. It's safe people. And it's not only a safe place for those that are in these walls or those that come in and out through these doors, but because we are called to be a group of safe people, that means that we're safe inside and outside these walls. We're safe around all of those we come into contact with. And we're there to represent the safe place that is God. That refuge, that place that we can run, that we know that others might not know about. And they won't know about it unless God's people are also a safe place, are also safe people. So it goes out past our boundaries. And as I reflected on that message after both services, when I sat down, I thought, that was supposed to be a safe place message. And actually, it didn't feel very safe when I listened to the words that were coming out of my mouth. It actually sounds very dangerous when we become a safe place, because it means that more and more people will be coming in. We will be held more and more responsible for the lives and the souls that will come, that we will come into contact with. There'll be a lot of very different people that will be coming into our lives and that we will be responsible for. And that sounds a little dangerous to me. But I believe that's where God has led us. And that's where God is leading us. And I believe that's the vision of where we're headed. And we talked about the need to get all of our feet pointed in the same direction so that we're all moving in the same place. And we've got the same vision. We're all on the same page. So the second part of this vision, we're going to kind of unpack this today, is the idea that we're called at this church to creatively experience God. Creative. Now that, I mean, there are a number of words in that vision statement that just don't find their way into a church vision statement. And that in itself told me, you know, creative belongs because the fact that none of the other ones belong in it. It's creative. It's our vision that God has given to us. I believe this is something that God has put together. It's a unique thing. It's custom built, tailor made for our church at this time for these people. Amen? And so when I look at that and I see the idea that to creatively experience God, This word came up, and it's been years of coming around to developing this vision and seeking out God, and really us getting to the point where we can hear God, where we're willing to listen. And we had an excellent elders and staff retreat at the beginning of this year, back in the winter, and we went through that, and this subject of vision came up, and the idea that we're turning corners, and we're seeing it kind of foggy. We need to get it nice and clear. And so we kept seeking God, and this is years after we started. I remember a couple years ago just really dedicating ourselves to prayer and having just nights where the elders and staff would get together and just pray. And then this led up to the elders retreat this past winter, and then we had a dinner where we invited not only the elders and the staff, but all of our wives and as well, to be able to have a larger group to kind of talk about this with. Because we were trying to think, well, who do we invite? And we thought, well, let's just have a dinner with the elders and the staffs and their wives and see what comes up as we talk about where the church is. What does our church look like? What's our personality? And what does it look like in the future? What do we see that's in the future? What things do we see now that could be big things later? And as we were talking about this, the word creative came up. And it hit me. I thought, I wasn't expecting that, but we are a creative church. You look at the things we do, all the different ministries giving teacher baskets to the teachers. That's creative. Now, Lou wouldn't consider herself a creative person, would you? No. We're going to get to that, though. You serve a creative God, though. Amen. All right. So, but we started looking at that and just looking at VBS, looking at our children's programs, our youth things that go on, our senior saints. They go on very creative trips. They have creative service-oriented things. We've got creative mission trips. There's a lot of things about this church that's creative. And so when that word came up, that's a big part of us. And that's not something you see posted on a lot of church billboards or church stationery or church bulletins, newsletters, web pages. We're a creative church. And I thought, this makes sense. It does. At first it didn't. I was trying to make some sense out of it. And I realized, we serve a creative God. It makes sense that God's church would be creative. Because the leader of our church is not the staff or the elders. The leader of our church is God. He's placed us in leadership positions. But God's a leader. And if our leader, if our chief commander is creative, then wouldn't it make sense that the people following him would at least be involved in creative things? Even if you're not, and I have to watch my verbiage here, even if you don't consider yourself a creative person, because I would argue everyone's creative, because we're made in the image of a creative God. But some of you don't feel like you're a creative person, and that's all right. When we're looking at this vision statement, we want to make sure that we didn't exclude people. We didn't want to make people feel like, well, I'm not a creative person, so I don't belong to that church. No, that's completely wrong. The idea is that we're creatively experiencing God. It doesn't mean that you have to be creative at all. In fact, I think it's pretty amazing that when you start gaining a relationship with God and you're serving God, he'll take you and put you into places where you never, ever expected yourself to be. And when you're there, especially after today, you'll scratch your head and you'll say, that was creative. Have you been there? Those of you who have been in ministry for a while? Yes? You get there and you're like, wow. Never expected in a million years to see myself here. But we serve a creative God who's always doing things and always thinking things. And I remember in college, I used to do a lot of camping. I share that now. A lot of people are like, you, camping? I loved it. And that was my time with God. And in fact, I was just getting rid of a lot of stuff, and I actually threw away my old camping backpack that I had. Just, it was so worn and tattered. But that was my thing. I would go out, and it would just be me and God. And you step foot into nature. You get outside of these walls and outside of windows and shades and just look around at the birds. All these different birds, they all make different sounds. And you look at the vegetation, all the foliage, everything that's green in the spring and the summer, there's so many different greens out there. There's so many different shapes. There's so many different families of green out there. We serve a creative God. You don't even have to go into nature. If you're into, you know, we've got some people that are in the medical profession. You go into biology, you find a creative God in biology. Amen? Right? Look at these bodies. I mean, well, don't look at this one, but I mean, think about these bodies. I stabbed myself with a razor blade this week. Not on purpose, don't worry. I'm safe. It's healing. It's mending itself. That's a creative God. We see all these things that God does, and I'm fully convinced that our God is a creative God. And I believe that a creative God is calling each and every one of us to be involved in experiencing a relationship with him. And today I hope to be able to put together some pieces that will help us all to get on the same page, to all get on board. And we're going to do so by looking at a little recipe here. Now, I've got a few confessions that I could probably make at this point, but one is that I love milkshakes. Do I have anyone else that's with me on this one? All right, more willing to raise your hand about that one than half the other things that I've talked about today. I do, and I've got this milkshake, and I'll try to be modest about it, but this milkshake is the bomb. It's the milkshake of milkshakes. It really is, and later you might get a chance to agree with me. It is a banana split milkshake. Oh, yeah. It is all the flavor and taste of a banana split in an easy-to-drink cup. What do you think about that? Does that sound great? All right, we're going to use this banana split milkshake to try and help us to understand what being in a creative relationship with God is all about. And what happens is a lot of people, when you start to get into this, if you wanted to replicate this recipe, you would start and you'd say, you know, we need to start by splitting a banana, right? Because it's a banana split milkshake. You say, that's where we need to start. We get so excited sometimes, and we just want to skip to the good stuff. We want to skip right to the bananas, right to all the flavor, right to all the excitement, right to all the where all the stuff is happening. We need to wait and pause for a moment. So I believe a lot of times this represents where we are sometimes in our walk. And we don't really experience God. So we're too busy chasing things. We're too busy chasing the banana. We're going to get to the banana in a little bit. But in Psalm 37, the writer says, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him. Trust in him and watch what he'll do. He'll make your righteousness shine. He will, the justice of your cause, like the noonday sun. Says, this is the God that I serve. So be still. Be still and wait patiently for him. I think sometimes we're so excited about our cause, or we're so excited about where we're going, or what direction we want to move in, or where we want to be in the future. Sometimes we really forget, and this just baffles me, that in a relationship with God, sometimes we forget to just sit there with him. Just be with him. Just wait with him. And be still with him. And I don't know how to overemphasize that in such a way that it'll really hit home. But I really think that, and this is something where if you're sitting there thinking, you know, well, I'm glad so-and-so's here, they need to hear this, or I wish so-and-so would be here because they need to hear this, stop that right now. This is something to take personal. This is something to take out of your own life. Because we live busy lives. We're just constantly going and going and going and going. And we're constantly doing stuff and moving things and going places. And we're constantly chasing things and grabbing things. We really forget the basics of what a relationship with God is really about. And that is just to be still. The psalmist writes again in 46:10, the very famous passage says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and just know that. Peter talks about, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he talks about this pure milk. Crave this pure milk as infants, as babies. Crave this pure spiritual milk so that you may do what? So that you may grow up. Crave this pure spiritual milk. And so a key ingredient in a milk shake is what? Milk. Sometimes we completely miss the milk in our relationship with God. Sometimes we leave out the foundational elements, the basics of what our relationship with God sets on. We need milk if we're going to be making a milkshake. If you want a relationship with God, you have to learn how to be still. You have to remember He is in charge. He is the one in control. We heard a scripture read to us from Isaiah 40 where Isaiah says, and I love the way he gets in this. He's like, haven't you heard? Don't you know? I mean, hasn't this been taught before? Haven't you been in a service before where you've heard this about God? Isn't this common knowledge to everyone? Our God is an everlasting God. That's big. That's something we hear and we still sit in our pews. That's something I believe we should hear and we start shaking. Our God's everlasting. That is huge. Who can fathom His thoughts? Who can understand what He understands? Who can be as creative as He is? Who can be as intelligent as He is? Who can be as wise as He is? He gives strength to the weak. He strengthens the weary. This everlasting God, He gives strength to the weary. Even youths, they grow weary and faint. Young men stumble and fall. But those that wait, and I like that translation. I appreciate the song doing that and other Bible translations. The NIV says those who hope in a true Hebrew understanding of that is those that wait on, and they're really close. But I think it's very important to pick up on that and understand those that wait on the Lord. You gotta learn how to be still. We'll renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. But it doesn't happen through chasing and running and going here and there and being so busy that your lifestyle is just pushed right up against your limits. It comes from being still. It comes from realizing this is God, and the only way to have a relationship with Him is to remember the milk. Remember the basics. Now, there are other places in the New Testament where it talks about milk as a negative thing. It says, hey, you guys have matured on. You should be past the milk. It's not saying leave the milk behind. It's saying you should have added other things to your faith. But you got to bring the milk with it. You can't leave the foundational elements of what a relationship with God is. You can't leave those things behind. You bring it with you. Don't forget the milk. As we look at a milkshake, we think of what else goes into a milkshake that goes into all other milkshakes. No matter what kind of specialty milkshake you're making, what else goes in? Ice cream goes into a milkshake. We'll go on and pull that out, and we'll get some ice cream in our milkshake because we have to understand what... Actually, I want to set that out. Yeah, because I don't want to kill my wrist. Yeah. Ice cream is an interesting little animal. Have you ever... I mean, like, milk... Milk comes out of a cow or a goat or whatever, you know, animal. But, you know, generally the milk we drink comes from a cow. Now, there are some things that happen to it. I'm not a dairy farmer. I know there's some pasteurization, some homogenization, right? All right, I'm probably just butchering those words, but no pun intended, different kind of dairy farmer or cow. Anyway, so... But that's there. It's available. It's milk, and it doesn't really change what it is, but... Where does ice cream come from? Milk. Well, milk, yeah, but I mean, it doesn't come out of Wisconsin cows. Cream in it. You know, it doesn't come out of really, you know, they don't stick a cow in the freezer and then try and milk it and get ice cream. It doesn't happen. Ice cream goes through a process. That's how we get ice cream. And yes, it is rooted in milk. But look at this. I found this process here. Look at that process. Did you ever know that your ice cream went through this? It's got to go through. You got the liquid ingredients, the dry ingredients, and there's a blending, and there's a batch pasteurization that goes into homogenization, and the cooling, and the aging, and then air incorporation, and that goes into all sorts of other things, and it builds into a process, and there's this and that, and this goes in that, and that's very complicated for a nice thing of Breyers vanilla ice cream. The little vanilla beans in it, that's the best, isn't it? Ice cream this morning is going to represent our maturity in our relationship with God. Because like ice cream, our maturity in Christ, it's not something that you just, pow, you've got it instantly. It's a process. It's a process rooted in the understanding that we need to learn how to be still. It's rooted in milk. But it goes beyond that, and it grows, and it continues to grow. And there are a lot of people in church that get to a point, and they say, I'm off the bus, man. This is as far as I want to go. I'm good. I'm good right here. I'm comfortable. Do not get off the bus. Don't miss out on this. Because this ice cream in a milkshake is a large portion of what goes into a milkshake. I mean, you got to have a lot of ice cream to go into a milkshake to make it a milk. Am I right? Do I need more? I mean, we're making a milkshake today, people. I'm not playing around. All right? I better put that away. It's going to melt all over the place. We'll have a mess. In our Christian walk, we need lots of maturity. And you can never have enough. You have to keep allowing that to grow and to pasteurize it and to homogenize and all of the stuff that was up on that chart. And for us, when we end up in the shelf at the superstore on sale, that day is the day that we cross into the gates into heaven. Are you picking up on that parallel? Until that day, we are still in the process. We are still being made mature. We are still, I'm reminded of Paul when he writes to the church in Thessalonians. He writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he tells these guys, he's like, you guys are the bomb. You guys are awesome. He tells them in the very first chapter, he says, you guys are the model church for the churches around you. Wouldn't that feel great to have Paul come in here and say, you guys are the model church for all these other area churches? I go to these other churches when I'm speaking around, I'm saying, hey, you guys need to look at the Thessalonian church. Look at the church in Thessalonica because they got it going on. They got it. They're on. They're locked in. They understand what church is supposed to be about. They're doing it. They're getting things done. They're reaching people for Christ. They are the model church. And then Paul tells them a few chapters later in the same letter, he tells them, he said, I know that you guys are doing what I've instructed you to do, what you've been instructed to do, to please the Lord. I know that you're doing those things. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ to do this what? More and more. I believe if he weren't working with Amenuensis and Papyrus and all this, he might have continued to go if this were an email. And more and more. And more. See, our maturity is a process. You can't just step off the bus and say, I'm done. You got to stay on. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, how long you've been going to church, how many messages you've sat through, how many Sunday schools you've been through. There's still more room to mature. There's still more room to get to know this God that we serve. To creatively experience him requires these two ingredients. Now, once you get these two ingredients started, then you've got a lot of things that happen from there. There's a story in the Old Testament, a guy by the name of Samuel. Some of you guys might know the story of Samuel. And if you go in the Old Testament, you'll look into 1 Samuel. There's a 2 Samuel, that's why it's 1 Samuel. And in chapter 3, we get a chance to see Samuel's calling. And what happens to Samuel there? Samuel's laying in bed, and Samuel hasn't really heard the voice of the Lord. And in fact, God hasn't spoken much at all in the recent years. He's underneath Eli, and Eli really, I don't want to dog the guy, but he wasn't that great of a priest. And he was supposed to be kind of like the mentor for Samuel. And Samuel's lying there in bed, and he hears a voice. He calls to him. He calls his name. He says, Samuel. So Samuel gets up, puts on his robe and his slippers, and goes walking into Eli's room. Says, yes, what can I do for you? What do you need? Eli, I mean, he is out cold. He's just, you know, and he's waking up. What? I don't know what you're talking about. Go back to bed. You must be dreaming, little prophet boy. So he goes on back to bed, and he lays there, and this happens again. He hears his voice being called. So he walks in there to Eli and says, like, Eli, this really isn't funny. I'm trying to get some rest. You're calling my name. Okay, this isn't what happened. But he does go back in there, and he says, I'm here. What do you need? And he says, I'm not calling your name. I don't know what you're hearing. Go on back to bed. So he goes back to bed. This happens a third time. He goes in there, and then Eli kind of wakes up a little bit, and Eli says, maybe God's talking to this little prophet boy. So he tells him, he said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back and I want you to lay in your bed. And next time you hear your name being called by that voice, say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. In the back of Eli's mind, he's thinking, all right, this will keep him busy for a while. So Samuel goes back and he lies in bed. You know, if we miss out on these pieces, and we don't learn how to be still, how are you ever going to hear the whispers of God when he calls your name? In addition to that, if we're not maturing, if we're not growing, how are you ever going to recognize who it is? Samuel had no idea who it was calling him because he'd never been talked to by the Lord. He hears his name called again, Samuel. He says, yes, Lord, your servant's listening. Sure enough, it was God talking to him. And God gave Samuel his call there. And that, my friends, that's the banana and the banana split milkshake. It's hearing the call of God on your life. Because we have a creative God calling us. And I use bananas. And in fact, in a banana split, you would have pineapples as well. And so you got pineapples and bananas. And a lot of times we go through life and we say, you know what? I'm going to figure out what God's calling on my life is by looking at my gifts, my talents, what I can bring to the table. And we're so busy chasing after that that we're not being still and listening for that call. And I use these as the fruits of this and the idea of these two fruits. If you're going to go out in nature and find these two fruits, you would not find these two fruits looking at the ground unless one of them had rotted and fallen. And you don't want that one. The only way you're going to find these fruits is to look up. I want you guys to remember that. Take that with you. The only way you're going to see and find your calling is to keep your head off of the things of this world. And to keep your mind on God and focused on God and having that time of rest and gaining that maturity so that you can learn his voice. Jesus tells us that the shepherd calls the sheep and they recognize his voice because there's a relationship going on there. And when God calls you, and it might be any number of different ways or different times, we have a creative God that is calling us. And you look at Moses, that Mike brought Moses up a few weeks ago. Moses was 80 years old, we're told in Scripture, when he went to Pharaoh. How many of you guys made it to 80 in here? I know we've got a couple. That's about it. Some of you, if you're in Moses' line, you might have to wait till you're 80 before God brings his calling on your life. Don't get off the bus. Don't get off the bus. Don't do it. You'll miss out on the good stuff. Because I tell you, this is when it gets good. When you hear God's calling on your life and you respond to that and you say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I'm your servant. I'm listening. You look at Joshua, who was brought up in Mike's sermon as well. Joshua was ready to go into the promised land. He was ready to run on in and that one's going to escape either. He was going to go on in. When they were there, he was like, man, we're ready. We can go in. We can take this place. It's ours for the picking. And no one else, one other person was with him, but none of the other spies were with him. And so they went into 40 years of wandering. It wasn't until after those 40 years that God comes to Joshua and gives him his calling in Deuteronomy 31, 23, where he says, hey, Joshua, you're the man that's going to take these people into the promised land. 40 years after wandering around in the desert, some of you might be wandering around in a desert. Wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. He will lift you up on wings like an eagle. Be still and know that he is God. And in that time, work on that process of developing a relationship. Allow him to mature you. Allow him to take you and build more and more ice cream into your milkshake. So when it's time to add the good stuff, you're looking up and you can see the fruit. You can hear the calling. Not only are you still enough to hear the whisper, but you know the voice that's whispering to you. A creative God is calling. As we look at these things, I've got something else I'd like to add to this mix here. And that is strawberries. You know, Romans 12, I have to put these down because I have to use my hands for this. In Romans 12, he's talking about this idea that when we come to Christ, when we enter into this relationship, and we talked about this a little bit last week, a little memory button for you. Remember that? We should be transformed. Any of us who have come into contact with Jesus Christ in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we should have been transformed. Romans 12 picks up on that and he says, guys, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to understand. Then you'll be able to see the fruit hanging from the trees. You'll be able to hear the calling of God, God's will on your life. After you've been transformed. And then he goes on to talk about how those of us who have been transformed, we've been given gifts. Individual, unique gifts. And that's what these strawberries represent here. How many of you guys have ever gone out to pick strawberries? All right? You know, sometimes the strawberry's just sitting there, just looking at you. And you pass right by. Yes? And you grab it and you're like, oh, that's a good strawberry. Then there are other times when you're picking strawberries, you have to pull the leaves back. You have to look a little, don't you? I think these things are great representations of our gifts that God gives to us. And sometimes what's really interesting is when we get this is the reason why it's a milkshake, because you really can't separate these things once they get started. Sometimes a gift comes and then God calls you and you realize, oh, that's what that gift is for. Sometimes God calls you and then he qualifies the called. He counts you worthy of his calling. He calls you to something like Moses. Hey, I want to call you. I want to get you to do this. Moses said, I don't have the gift. I'm going to give you what you need. So sometimes the gift comes after the calling. Sometimes the gift comes before the calling. But either way, we've got gifts that God has given to us. Supernatural gifts. Gifts that have been given to us through grace. Ephesians 4 talks about the same idea that according to the grace apportioned, and it's a different kind of grace than the grace that saves us. It's a different part of that. That each of us gets a different type of grace-given gift. A charismatic gift is what that word actually is translated from. But a raw translation of that would be a gift in grace, a gift from grace. Each of us have these gifts. Some of them are just obvious and they're just sitting out there in plain view, plain sight. Some of them you got to look for. But each of us have been given gifts and you got to throw those in the mix because that makes it good stuff. And then once you get involved in this, and this is what's really neat because Ephesians 4 continues on with this idea. He says that each of us have been given these gifts, and these gifts have been given so that we can come together. Let me read that from the screen here. Ephesians 4, they will no longer be tossed, be infants tossed back and forth by the waves. Go on and move to the next one. Instead, speaking of truth and love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So what's really neat about this is that as I'm maturing and I'm getting a chance to be able to hear and recognize God's voice better, the more gifts that he gives to me and the more I use those gifts, the more I'm helping all of us mature, including myself, including you guys. So when we're all working together, ooh, and this is the good stuff. This is the good stuff right here. It's so slippery, I can't get a hold of it. So good. right? Because when you find your spot in the kingdom, when a creative God calls you and he puts you here, and you say, well, I never thought I'd find myself here, but I kind of like it. God's given me the gifts. I've been listening. I know it's God's voice that has called me here. Because when you get there, oh, that's a sweet spot. You're going to remember that. That's corny, but you're going to remember that. That's the sweet spot when you're there. And if you're there, you know it. If you've been there before, you know it. That's a great place to be. There's no other better place to be on this planet than to be in the spot where you are exactly where God wants you. And God is using you. And God is gifting you and empowering you. And you're spending time with him and you're being still. And all the while you're processing and you're maturing. There's no better place to be than to be that spot. So we get a chance to add some of the sweet spot into this. A little bit more, yeah. You got to make sound effects. Ooh, that's an important piece. Yeah, that would have been. Yeah, I'm not really in the mood to have a volcano this morning. You gotta shake it down a little bit. I got some cups. No, I'm not Jesus Christ. I've only got what I've got in the picture here. I'll just do small amounts. That way I can have enough to go a little further than we did the last service. No, it's not hitting the floor at all. That one came really close, though. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So who wants some? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3. Come on, anyone. Hope, come on up. 4, 5. I want another adult. We're going to have some adults drinking this stuff. All right, come on up. Teresa. And you guys can, I don't have a tray. Take a straw, take a cup, take it back to your seat, and enjoy. Welcome. Derek, you want a straw? Courtesy of McDonald's. Harrison, stop by there this morning. The straws I got were little puny things, and I know McDonald's, man, they got these big straws. So when I stopped by there this morning, I was like, hey, and you know, for the cause of Christ, can you donate about 10 straws? Now, what have you guys, okay, we got straws coming out. What do you think? Good stuff. Thumbs up all around. That verse in Peter that we looked at, and I didn't get the second part of it up on the PowerPoint. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and he was talking about craving the pure milk, craving that pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up. He finishes that in verse 3, and he says, those that have tasted of the Lord, they know it's good. You know, when you've tasted, when you've been here, when you've stepped in and you've got this process and you've got these different parts in and you realize it's good, it's something you're going to come back and come back and come back again for. And we as a leadership, we want you to experience this, first of all, for the kingdom, second of all, for you. And so when we're looking at values that go into this vision statement, we've got two things to write down real quick. And these values have everything to do with the things that we've been talking about, all these different parts that went into this milkshake. I hope this will help you to remember this. And that what we are holding up at this point in time, part of these values, is that we want you to discover your calling. We want you to discover God's calling for you. every single one of us to be still enough to listen, to recognize his voice, to be mature enough that he's growing fruit in our life, to keep our mind on heavenly things and our ears open to God and not being so consumed with stuff here on earth, so that we can find that sweet spot. And if everyone in the church is right there in that sweet spot, that's going to be a good place for this church to be. In addition to that, we want everyone to continually strive, to be continually striving to reach the next level in maturity in Christ. Don't get off the bus. Just don't. Stay on. Wait on the Lord. If you haven't found your vision, the calling that God has for your specific life, stay on board. Keep looking up. Because a creative God is calling, I am for certain.